Every month, I have the opportunity to meet with some of the leaders in our community. And we kind of get together and kind of figure out what the different organizations and groups are doing, what we're working on, kind of where we're headed. And we are beginning a process now of dreaming about the future of West and working on a comprehensive strategic plan. So hopefully the chamber and the Kiwanis and the police department and the fire department and the EMS and the Ministerial Alliance, and hopefully we can all kind of be working together and moving in a common direction toward a positive future. And I'm excited about the work that we're doing toward that end. The last time we met, I shared with them that leaders really do three things. They preserve the past, improve the present, and prepare for the future. Now, any leader is doing one of those things at any time. He or she is either preserving the past, improving the present, or preparing for the future. Based on their style and the needs of their organizations at the time, they may do more of one of those than the other two. The work that leader does changes based on those needs. And I'm excited in a big way about our year together in 2018, because in that one year, we're going to be able to do a lot in all three areas. We're going to be able to experience some great opportunities, events, and times of growth as we preserve the past, improve the present, and prepare for the future. I want to just begin to show you some of that today. This is not going to be really a traditional message as much as a look forward into 2018. And with that in mind, I want to start with prepare the future, and then we'll move to the other two. We're going to kind of go in reverse order here. Prepare the future. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, look with me in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. I just kind of stumbled on to this recently. It's a story that you're familiar with. David has a plan that he wants to build a temple. David makes a good statement, really. He's pretty sharp. He says, you know, it's not right for the king to have a house, a palace, a beautiful, he explains it as a beautiful palace in which to live, if God has only a tent. You see, at that time, there was no temple. They still basically had a tabernacle. The Ark of the Covenant was still just kind of moving around. No place, no permanent residence for God, if you will. And so David said, it's not right for the king to have this great, big, nice, beautiful palace, and God Almighty has to live in a tent. And so he said, I'm going to build him a temple. He checked in with the prophet, and the prophet said, good, go, you got it, go build that temple. And then the prophet slept on it one night and came back the next day and said, God says it's not for you to build that temple. Instead, he said, Solomon, your son, is going to build that temple. Let's pick up the story at 1 Chronicles chapter 22. David has just found the perfect place. He's found the perfect property for that temple. And he says in the beginning of verse 1, then David said, this is the house of the Lord, and this is the altar of burnt offering for Israel. He found the right spot. He built an altar there. And he said, this is going to be it. So David gave orders to gather the foreigners who were in the land of Israel, and he set stone cutters to hew out stones to build the house of God. Now, when it says that he called on the foreigners, that's actually a beautiful thing. It is, he's about to lay out a plan, and that plan involves those who are not of the Jewish line. They're not the nation of Israel, but they are the immigrants, if you will, the foreigners who have kind of settled with them. And the powerful, beautiful thing here is that as David lays out the plan, he's going to use those so-called foreigners, and he's going to use many, many of the Hebrew people, the Jews, and they're going to work side by side to build the temple of God. And so from the very beginning, the temple was Jew and Gentile. It was built that way. It was a combination. It was a joint effort, if you will. And so it says that he gets those folks ready, and they start getting the stones ready to build this great house of God. Verse 3, David prepared large quantities of iron to make the nails for the doors and the gates, for the clamps, and for more bronze than could be weighed, and timbers of cedar logs beyond number. For the Sidonians and Tyrians brought large quantities of cedar timber to David. And David said, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built for the Lord shall be exceedingly magnificent, famous, glorious throughout all lands. Therefore, I will make preparation for it." So David made ample preparations before his death. When I came across that recently, I noticed how hard David worked for something that he might never see. He prepared the way for the building of the house of God that would get the attention of all the world, according to him, even though David might never experience it. He was beginning to look forward to the future and to make the sacrifices necessary for those who came behind him. You continue the story in verse 6. He called for his son Solomon, charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. David said to Solomon, "My son, I had intended to build a house to the name of the Lord my God, but the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'You have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name, because you have shed so much blood on the earth before me. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest, and I'll give him rest for all his enemies on every side. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son. I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever.'" David gets Solomon and he says, "This is what God said. God said, you get to build the temple. And when you build it, he's going to make you great. Your name will be attached to that temple from now on." And then let's finish the story at verse 14. "Now behold, with great pains," David is still talking, "Now behold, with great pains, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond weight, for they are in great quantity. Also timber and stone I have prepared, and you may add to them. Moreover, there are many workmen with you, stone cutters and masons of stone and carpenters and all men who are skillful in every good work. Of the gold and silver, the bronze, the iron, there is no limit. Arise and work, and may the Lord be with you." David passes on the blessing. In other words, David knew that he was never going to get to worship in that temple, but he prepared it. He got everything ready. He laid the groundwork for those who would come behind him. There was a great Greek proverb that said, "Society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they know they shall never sit in." That is what you and I have the opportunity to do in 2018. You and I have the opportunity to begin a process by which we can begin to lay the groundwork for some exciting things in our church life, many of which we will never see the benefits of, but they will be here for future generations. We have already elected a properties planning committee. That properties planning committee is going to begin in just next week. They're going to begin the very beginning of January. Their original purpose is to look at our various real estate properties. We've got four or five lots here and there and kind of spread around. And their first task is to look at all of those properties and determine how we can best use those properties for our current goals, but primarily, how can we use those properties to prepare us for the future, for what's coming next? Now, I have not kept it a secret. I am very transparent. My hope is that we can eventually build a family life center. And using the properties in the correct way, we can head in that direction. However, we're going to work through this committee to determine what is the best plan. Just because John wants it doesn't mean it's the best plan. And so we're going to look at all of our properties. We're going to look at who we are. We're going to look at who our community is. We're going to look at what's coming in the future as best as we can tell. And we're going to begin laying the groundwork, whatever that may look like. We're going to begin laying the groundwork for what lies in the future. Some of us will make great sacrifices for things that we will never benefit from. We're going to begin planting trees in whose shade we will never sit. And I wanted to remind you before we begin that process that the reason you and I are sitting here in this beautiful facility today is because others did the very same thing for us. Those who came before us made great sacrifices, worked hard, made plans, prepared the way, even though they may not have enjoyed the fruit of their labor, we have experienced it. Now it's our time to pass that along to others. So as we look toward 2018, one of the first things that we get to do this year is to prepare for the future. And then the second thing that we're going to get to do is improve the present. This is what leaders do. We're going to prepare for the future, improve the present, and preserve the past. So we're going to begin to have the opportunity even this year to improve the present. Now, it's important for us to understand that we want to do the best we can do today with what we have and who we are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 31, we read, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Whatever we do, we are going to, one of the ways that we're going to improve on our present is we're going to move beyond accepting mediocrity. Accepting mediocrity is not who we are. And so we're going to push one another that just enough isn't good enough anymore. And so we're going to work at doing our best, being our best. Why? Because we do it all for the glory of God. Ecclesiastes says it another way in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. "Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Put everything you've got into it and do the best that you can do at it." That's what's going to make 2018 a great year, because we're going to agree together to do the best that we can do at everything we do so we can glorify God in all of it. One of the things that we're going to begin working on right away is we're going to ask our personnel committee to begin a search process for our worship leader and youth pastor. Now, we're going to begin that process, but I want you to know as well that we're not going to hurry that process. We're not going to rush to find somebody to fill a spot. We're going to do what we can do to do our best to find the right person at the right time for those two positions. Toward that end, we're going to be praying about it together. We're going to be talking about it a lot. And we're going to just slow down and take our time and find the right staff at the right time. In addition to that, we're going to, very soon, we'll hold a deacon election. We haven't done that in many years. Some of you have been a part of our church for such a short time, you've never seen us do that before. But we're going to hold a deacon election. Now this year it's going to be very different than it has ever been before, because for the first time we have a group of yoke fellows who have already kind of been through a year of training and learning and experiencing what it might be like to be a deacon. And when we do the deacon elections, we're going to do them by our current bylaws. But in addition to the way the bylaws are spelled out, we're going to be able to present you with 4 or 5 nominations right off the top that of these yoke fellows who have gone through this experience. And so we're going to be able to elect some deacons, and we're going to be able to celebrate their service to the church and to the Lord here in just a very short time. Also, within this first quarter, we're going to have a technology ministry team who's going to come to our church. They come at their own expense. They're going to spend about a week with us, and they're going to look at the technology that we have. They're going to help us improve on our technology. I hope, my plan is, that we will build an entirely new website. We'll be able to start live streaming, so when you're on vacation and you can't be here on Sunday morning, all you have to do is go to fbcwest.com and you can watch and worship with us right there on the computer. We're working hard on some of these ideas, and this group is going to come in and help us put all of that stuff together in such a way that it's going to be very meaningful for us. We're also looking at a wonderful, I think, an exciting challenge in 2018, in that we are going to look at the most challenging budget that we've ever seen. The budget is a little higher than we've ever experienced before. However, based on our history, we have increased the budget and we have received what we needed. We have spent under the budget and received what we needed for many years in a row. And I anticipate that's going to happen again in 2018. Now, for that to happen, we're going to have to be generous. But I know that we can meet that budget in 2018, even though it's increasing. This is an exciting time to be a part of our church as we look forward to that new challenge. The reading program is going to continue at least through the rest of this school year. Then we're going to look at it and regroup. But we're going to continue that reading program at the elementary school through the rest of this school year. In addition to that, we're going to start looking for other opportunities for our church to impact our community. I'm convinced, I'm totally convinced that part of the reason First Baptist Church is here is to have an impact on the community of West. More than that, Northern McLennan, Southern Hill Counties. I think God put us here 160 years ago so that we could continue to have a positive influence in Northern McLennan, Southern Hill Counties. And so we're going to do that in some very real ways, starting with that reading program and then moving on to find other practical ways we can impact our community. Toward that end, I wanted to remind you of our core values. FBC obviously stands for First Baptist Church. FBC also stands for those things that drive us that are most important to who we are. F is family focused. B, we're Bible based. C, we're Christ centered. And as we go into 2018, you're going to be able to see a lot of what we do and a lot of what we focus on is based on those core values. We're about family, we're about the Bible, and we're all about Jesus. As we think about family, we're going to enjoy the father-daughter banquet again, the mother-son banquet again. We're going to add this year a program that we haven't done in many years called Pastor's Pals, and this is where we get to focus on kids. Throughout the month of April, we're going to do Pastor's Pals. Each child is going to receive a little notebook. In that little notebook, they're going to be able to learn to kind of take some notes on what's happening in worship. It's going to help them focus on worship. PALS stands for Prayerful, Attentive Listeners. And what this does is it helps them learn how to actively participate in worship. And all of the kids who come all 4 weeks and they fill their little notebook, you know, not only are they going to have the worship page, but there's also going to be a page where they have to meet three deacons, or they have to introduce themselves to one of the staff people, or they, you know, different things. And there may be a little crossword here and a little word search there. And at the end of 4 weeks, all of the kids who complete that little notebook are going to go eat pizza together with Miss Lisa and me. We're going to take them to pizza. And so it's a way for us to involve the kids and help them to grow in their understanding of what church is all about. We're also going to continue our plans for a children's church. Todd and Jennifer have been talking about this a long time. And that is, instead of just extended session, where many times they leave and kind of do a color sheet and hang out, there will be an actual children's-oriented church experience where they will learn to worship, and they'll hear a children's-oriented message, and they'll be able to learn together in that way. We're also looking at the possibility of a short-term study called Parenting in the Pews. And that idea is that I want to just sit down with parents and help parents know the best ways to raise your kids in church, how they can get the most out of church, how you can at home help them to grow in their faith in everyday life. I want to be able to help parents in that way. So sometime this year, we're looking forward to Parenting in the Pew. We're going to do another men's conference. This time it's going to be in the fall. We're going to pick the one Saturday that Baylor has a bye. You can look at Baylor's football schedule and figure out when that's going to be. There's one Saturday we don't play ball. That's when the men's conference is going to be this year. We're going to move it. I think we're going to move the venue so that we can include other churches and help this thing to grow into a Central Texas event instead of just an FBC West event. And all of that is based on our family focus. That men's conference is all about helping men be better husbands and fathers, helping men be the Christians that God has called them to be. And so this is all a family focus. Our Bible-based core value, you're going to see that played out in Sunday morning worship. Starting next Sunday, we're going to start a series called Plumb Lines. Many of you have already heard me share with you our five plumb lines. When you hold a plumb line up, you've got that bob at the bottom, and it makes that string completely straight. Then as you build something, you can line it up to that, and anything that doesn't line up to that string either has to be adjusted or you have to get rid of it. That's the way we're going to begin to view ministry. We have five plumb lines, and those plumb lines are so important that whatever doesn't measure up either has to be adjusted or we have to move it out of the way. We're going to look at what those plumb lines are over the next 5 weeks. As soon as that series is over, we're going to go to Calvary. We're going to spend 7 weeks hearing Jesus speak from the cross. We've done this before, but it's so important that I think we want to go back to the cross in preparation for Easter. Every Sunday, we will hear Jesus say another statement from the cross as we prepare for Easter. And then we're going to be into Easter in April. During that April, we'll also have our outdoor worship time, and we will have a week that is just called Why. That week in April is just called Why. We're going to get together for worship, and we're going to say, why is the pulpit where it is? Why do we do the offering at the end? Why do we stand when we sing? We're going to talk about why we do what we do so that we can learn the value of it. And we can understand the meaning behind some of what we do. After that month of April, we're going to move into May. And in May, we're going to begin a series called Impact. And Impact is a five-week look at how we can have a strategic and meaningful impact on our community around us. That's going to be an exciting time as well. I'm also going to encourage you to read through the Bible this year. I can bring that up now because you got to start tomorrow. Read through the Bible in 2018. Now, the way I want to encourage you to do that, you can go online, you can find any number of plans on how to read the Bible through in 1 year. Just go on there and find one that fits you, all right? Many of you would prefer to do it the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to use the Bible app. It's by YouVersion. It's just called the Bible app. If you go to Bible.com, you're going to find it there. The reason I like the Bible app is you've got four or five different plans that you can choose from that's going to lead you through the Bible in 1 year. The one I like the best, you get to read a little bit of Old Testament and a little bit of New Testament and a psalm every day. And then you get to the end of the year, you've completed the entire Bible. The other reason I like it is when I'm quiet and I can read, I pull out my phone and I can read. If I have a really busy day, I don't have time to sit and read my phone or my iPad. With this YouVersion Bible app, all I've got to do is plug it into a speaker and it will read to me. And they do it very dramatically. It's very well done. There are a number of translations from which you can choose. Also, we're not only going to encourage you to read the Bible through, and if you use that app, that'd be a great way to do it, but I'm also going to start using that app on Sundays in that they have what they call events, and we can set up event for each Sunday, and you'll be able to follow my notes, my message notes on your phone. You'll be able to fill in little things. It'll show you a little graphic that'll go along with what we're talking about. There'll be a link to get more information on what we're dealing with, and it'll all be right there on your phone. So starting in 2018, yes, it's okay to bring your phone to church, all right? We're going to have those ready for you, and I'm looking forward to encouraging you. I'm looking forward to using that together. We're family-focused, Bible-based, and Christ-centered. Everything we do should be to bring Him glory. And if it doesn't do that, then we need to adjust what we're doing or stop it. All right? So we're going to prepare for the future, improve the present, and we also are going to, this year, have the opportunity to preserve the past. In 1 Samuel chapter 7 at verse 12, said that Samuel took a stone and he set it up. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Now, the idea here is that the Philistines were coming. They were about to attack, and God intervened, turned them against themselves, and protected His people. So Samuel picked up this stone. The word Ebenezer means stone of help. And they set this stone down so that they would always remember what God had done in that place as He protected His people and took care of them. He set down that stone and he said, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Can't promise what's next, but I know that thus far the Lord has helped us. And so that is a part of our journey. We set up Ebenezer stones to tell the generations who are to come, look what God did for us. And to remind ourselves, thus far He's helped us. Since He's helped us thus far, we know we can trust Him the rest of the way. Our outdoor worship service this year will remember the 5th anniversary of the time that we met outdoors. And remember that the outdoor worship service is not really about remembering the explosion. We'll never forget that. We don't need any help remembering that. The purpose of the outdoor worship time is, as it's always been, to recognize and remember how God has helped us get through it, rebuild our lives, rebuild our communities. That outdoor worship time is our Ebenezer stone. And speaking of Ebenezer stone, you probably remember the tombstone that used to be right outside the door. Well, what happened to that? Well, that was placed on our 150th anniversary. We put it there as our Ebenezer stone to say over 150 years, God has brought us this far. The only problem was it was so big and it was made by the memorial company, so it was a tombstone, and the word Ebenezer was so big that everybody who came in thought poor Ebenezer died and we buried him by the front door. It was confusing to people. It really was, and it was not what we originally intended when we first thought about getting a stone. So we've made room now by moving that away. We've made room, and we are going to get more like a real stone, a real rock, like we originally intended. We will place that out there again, and it will actually memorialize the 150th anniversary, have the same verse, same words that had on there. It's just going to look more like an Ebenezer stone instead of a tombstone. We are going to replace our Ebenezer stone so that we can remember thus far God has brought us. However, this year, we're not only going to replace the 150th stone, the Ebenezer stone, we also get to celebrate our 160th anniversary. And that's going to be a big deal for us. We'll do that sometime in the fall. We're looking forward to that time together. We're going to put together a committee. They're going to start planning. And we're going to have a big celebration in the fall for our 160th anniversary. Speaking of celebrations, if it's okay, let me take just a personal note here and let you know that sometime this summer, the Crowder family is going to have a big celebration as well, because Ashley got engaged last night. So we're looking forward to a big wedding. So we're going to start passing the plate twice every Sunday. Obviously, that's not true, but we are looking forward to that. We're excited about it. This is going to be an exciting year ahead. In January, our properties planning committee is going to start. We're going to talk about our plumb lines. In February, First Things First starts again, where we're going to help folks learn who we are and how they can be a part of us. The Seven Last Words are going to start. In March, we're going to have D-Now for our students. In April, Easter, Outdoor Worship and Pastor's Pals. In May, we'll have our Impact Series, our Men's Barbecue Cook-Off, our Mother's Day and Graduates Day. In June, Father's Day and Children's Camp. July, Vacation Bible School Mission Trip to Honduras. August, we'll begin preparing for the 160th anniversary. September, we'll celebrate the 160th anniversary. October, we'll have the Men's Conference and the Fall Family Fun Night. November, Bridge Builders Banquet, Thanksgiving. December, Advent, Christmas. And we'll be back here. We'll be back here looking back on 2018, giving thanks and looking forward to more exciting opportunities in 2019, in 1 year from now. So it's going to be a great year. We're looking forward to it. God has some exciting things in plan, in store for us. As we begin, think in those terms. Think of how we're going to celebrate, how we're going to preserve the past, how we're going to improve on the present, and how we're going to prepare for the future. And we're going to start planting trees under whose shade many of us will never sit. Father, thank you for the opportunity of a new start. Thank you for the joy of a new year. We pray that you would help us now as a church family to make the most out of the year ahead, and help us to do it all for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name.